Let's bring in Mike Harrington. He's at the Air Canada Centre's home away from home. How you doing, Mike?
Mr. Blair, Mr. Deitch, I'm very comfortable at the ACC. You're right. I spend most of September here, and it's like put on a comfortable pair of gloves.
So I'm going to ask you the question that Deitch and I were talking about this. Gary Bettman, does he go in the NHL Hall of Fame?
Oh, God.
Or the Hockey Hall of Fame?
See, he already said, well, oh, God, you know where it's going, Jay.
Well, we'll never know because of that lovely closed voting system they use. But, you know, you wonder at some point. I mean, he put a lot of money in a lot of people's hands, just like Bud Selig did. You know, and he's had a longevity, also plays. So, yeah, I would say at some point down the road, Bettman's going to be on the stage here in Toronto.
See, I mean, we expected, Deitch, you kind of this was like false advertising.
I thought Harrington was going to go.
You told me that
way.
Harrington was going to go ballistic, that it would put him over the edge.
The Harrington that I remember would be walking the streets with placards. I'm surprised. He's become a company conservative man.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't vote for Gary Bettman, but I don't have such a vote. The question is he going to be in the Hall of Fame? My answer to that is yes. Does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? Would be a completely different argument.
All right, tell us a little bit about the Sabres. They're in town to play the Leafs tonight. They're 17-17-9. The game is at 7:30 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario. Your recent column interesting. Essentially telling Dan Bylsma to, you know, let the reins out a bit. You know, and it's interesting because one of the things that I think a lot of us have been surprised about Mike Babcock. Because Mike Babcock preaches structure and discipline, yada, yada. But I think Mike Babcock also realizes that with this team, you know, especially once the game starts, structure and discipline can kind of go out the door, and you almost have to let guys let their talent and their instincts take over, and they almost need to have it handed to them. And it needs to be thrown in their face before they realize that, geez, maybe the guy in the suit behind the bench actually knows what he's talking about. Why? What is it about the Sabres that has prevented Bylsma from letting the reins go?
I want to have a dollar every time somebody says the system. I'm so sick of hearing about the system. The system really is holding this team back in my eyes. There is enough talent. I don't want to hear about structure defensively and we have to be responsible and yada, yada, yada. I'm tired of that. You're talking a team that does have quality top six forwards. You've got Jack Eichel. You've got Sam Reinhart. You've got an Evander Kane. You just got Tyler Ennis back. You've got Ryan O'Reilly. I want to see this team go more. And yesterday was a good example of that against Dallas. They had 31 shot attempts in the first period. Eichel had 10 shots on goal in the game. Eichel said yesterday, I've got to shoot more. He only had 9 shots on goal in the 3 previous games combined. I want to see this team attack more and try to score more. This is the name of the game. They are down with the Devils and Arizona and Colorado in goal scoring. That shouldn't be with the guys they have on this roster. They are in too much of a defensive posture too often, and that comes back to coaching. And that's how Bylsma wants to play. And you know what, guys? If Bylsma was popular among the great players of the Pittsburgh Penguins, he'd probably still be there. And the system bothered the Penguins, and that eventually got him out the door. If he wants to stay here, he's going to have to push this team a little more in terms of pushing the pace, pushing the attack. They are a boring team too often. They were not a boring team yesterday because they skated, their passing was better. There's all those little nuances. But they attacked, and that's how they have to play.
Tyler, I mean, the addition of Ennis didn't just – that wasn't the only reason that happened, was it? Or did that spur it?
It spurred it a little. You know, he's very speedy. He's very shifty. He's got great hands. It balanced the lines a little more. But I just think after what happened last week, they had 2 clunkers in Carolina and Tampa Bay, a complete debacle in Carolina. I think some of these guys said, we just got to go play. And I think there was a little bit of ignoring the system going on yesterday. And Eichel, you know, said again, I need to shoot more. And I think Eichel understands he needs to stop being so deferential, and he needs to get out there and fire the puck. And you look at it, he's got 10 goals in 22 games since he came back. There's no reason why Eichel shouldn't have 7 or 8 shots on goal a night. And I think that's what we're going to see a little more of. And, guys, this is a really huge game for the Sabres, not just in the standings, but just in general, in overall. The comparison between the Sabres and the Leafs about how they tore it down and are trying to build it back up is really prominent, especially in Buffalo, and people are not happy with the way the Leafs clearly have leapfrogged the Sabres when most people coming into the year thought the Leafs were a year behind the Sabres.
Mm. Mike, you just hit the sort of the segue where I wanted to get into. Obviously, tonight there's going to be so much focus and hype on Matthews versus Eichel. Those are two signature players, two franchise transcendent types. I am curious, though, in your opinion, where do you see the development right now of Jack Eichel? 17 points, 10 goals, 22 games this year. A lot of the comparison with him, of course, is with Connor McDavid. But as someone who covers the team daily, where is he right now in his development?
You know, he's certainly the face of the team already. There were some unfair expectations placed on him because of the idea that there was a 1A and 1B in the draft with him and Connor McDavid. It's not. Connor McDavid's clearly better. You know what, guys? If Connor McDavid turns into the next Gretzky and Austin Matthews turns into the next Mario Lemieux and Jack Eichel is the next Mike Modano or Mark Messier, that's not a bad thing for the Buffalo Sabres. Jack Eichel is going to be a transcendent player in this league for a long time. You're already seeing that. Now, this year it's going to be a little off. The high ankle sprain the day before the opener, I think, is something that bothers him from time to time, especially on back-to-backs. There are certain nights you don't see the burst of skating. There are certain nights where he's really on. Yesterday he was really on. Let's see how he is tonight in a back-to-back. I think the injury's lingering with him a lot of the time this year, but he's the player the Sabres needed to build around. The Sabres failing right now is in building all the other parts around him. And frankly, they tore down too much to get him. And that's really what they're undoing is their bottom six is terrible. The Leafs did not tear down as much to end up with Austin Matthews.
Hmm. Mike, I asked this question as somebody who is very fond of Buffalo, but obviously does not live there anymore. Is the Sabre fan satisfied with Jack Eichel as the face of the franchise, given the fact that if a lottery went a different way, they could have gotten Connor McDavid?
Absolutely. I think the fan base was understanding of the dynamic of the situation, that if they finished last in the league in 2014-15, they were going to get one of those two guys, and they understood they had no control of which guy they were going to get. I think there was a lot of disgust in Buffalo and in the league in general that Connor McDavid ended up in Edmonton, another number one pick to the Edmonton Oilers. Certainly people were holding their breath in Buffalo that Connor McDavid didn't end up here in Toronto. So they were happy on lottery night when that didn't happen. But I think there was tremendous understanding. The Sabres laid their plan out. They used their broadcast partners to do it. The plan was out that the fan base was 100% behind it, that they were going to get one of the two guys. The Sabres clearly, you know, how many Erie Otters games have been in the Sabres arena lately? None. There was an Erie Otters game the year McDavid played. They were banking on hoping on getting McDavid. That didn't happen, but the fans themselves are fine with Jack Eichel. The fans want to see this team built up and more things go around him so they can get out of last place in their division.
Now, Dan Bosma did put Sam Reinhardt and Jack Eichel back together Monday, a pairing that, in the past they've kind of fiddled around with. This would appear to be a logical pairing. I mean, this sort of seems to make sense from a distance. Do you think they're going to be together going forward, or is this a product of Biles?
Every game.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, one of the problems recently is we've seen Jack Eichel play with Marcus Foligno and Brian Gionta.
Yeah.
And Marcus Foligno's had a decent year, and Brian Gionta's had a pretty good year for his three in Buffalo. They can't be playing with Jack Eichel.
Mm-hmm.
They're third-line guys. I need to see scoring players with Jack Eichel. He has to play every night with either Sam Reinhardt or Evander Kane.
Right.
And I cannot imagine any scenario where Bilesman would stop doing that. He's got to keep Reinhardt with Eichel. It's ridiculous to me at times this year who we've seen on Eichel's line. We've had Matt Molson on there. We've seen Foligno, Gionta. We need to see scoring players with Eichel every single night.
So, Mike, it almost seems to me that one of Dan Bylsma's issues is that he's a tinkerer.
I'm sorry. The Leafs just came out and started firing pucks. I didn't hear what you just said.
Is he kind of like a serial tinkerer? A guy who has to tinker with something. Yeah, it's kind of working, but let's see what this looks like. And I don't know. Well, that looked okay, but let's see what this looks like. Because I get the sense that that's the type of guy, and you referred to his time in Pittsburgh, that is the type of guy who could drive a skilled player nuts.
He is a serial tinkerer, is the way to put it. He's very stubborn. I don't like the idea of duos.
Mm-hmm.
He's big on duos. It's a line. I want to see lines. I want to see three guys. I know other coaches have done it, and Bilesma did it in Pittsburgh a lot with Crosby and Kunitz. He loves his duos. I don't like the duo thing. That's what he's tried to do here a lot. He's ended up going back a lot with Ryan O'Reilly and Kane, with Eichel and Reinhart. But I think at times his tinkering is to this team's detriment. Stick with your lines. Go play. Do it for three or four or five games and go play. And I think the problem is from game to game sometimes these guys don't know who they're playing with. And, you know, their injuries cause a lack of chemistry in one sense and cause you to switch the lines. And it's been a tough run for them this year. But some of the line changing has just been unnecessary.
Mike, one last one from me, and that is watching the Leafs, obviously, up close tonight, watching them from afar. If you had to guess today, you think this is a playoff team? They're clearly ahead of schedule on their development. The question is, are they ahead enough where they can sneak into the playoffs this year?
Yeah, they're not a playoff team to me if you look at them and look at their lineup and their defense. However, in the context of this season, in the context of the imbalance in the East, the Atlantic Division, and the Metropolitan Division, the Leafs are absolutely a playoff team. The Leafs are going to finish, in my eyes, in the top three in the Atlantic Division. They're going to make it.